How many of you would say that you would like a little more joy in your life? Right? Probably most of us. We can all relate to this. Crazy question. Of course we want joy. How many of us expect joy bursting forth in our lives every day? Yeah, that's a little harder, isn't it? I want to let you know today that as a follower of Jesus, you and I can expect joy in our lives. That's really good news. In fact, it's one aspect of the character of the Holy Spirit that He places in us. It's put in our very being, and when we put our faith and trust in Christ. So, you know, to be honest today, I think it's a little hard, it is, to speak about joy, talk about joy after, you know, the week we've had in our community with tragic loss and for Jeremiah's family and close friends. You know, there's tremendous grief and sorrow. And even for those of us who, you know, who love them, we experience that grief and sorrow and even brings up memories of our own losses and of loved ones that, as well. And so these are very real and very raw emotions, and it's part of our, you know, current human experience. We just can't avoid some of those things. And yet, in the midst of such pain and sorrow in the Scripture today, I believe we find what we need, and that is joy. You know, it's a quality of the fruit of the Spirit, and it's the second attribute that we're looking at in this series called Fruit That Is Never Out of Season. It's the flavor of Jesus bursting forth in our lives, and we're talking about overflowing with love and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control, and even today, the experience of overflowing with joy. You know, the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes in the Bible, he talks about this after searching for life's purpose. He comes up with this. He says, I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live. So let's talk about that. What makes us happy? What makes you happy? You know, ice cream. The kids had a little trouble, I think, talking about what makes us happy. I think for us as adults, it's not that hard to think about the kinds of things that make me happy. You know, my drill, not a big deal, but it makes me a little happy. So what are the things that make you happy in life? Anything? What's that? Puppies and babies. There you go. You know, they bring a smile to our faces, right? Puppies and babies. What else makes you happy? Hanging out with my kids. Yeah, little P, our little granddaughter, you know. She's cute. She makes us happy. She smiles. You know, smile makes us happy. When Cheryl smiles, I'm happy. You know, maybe a walk in the park or a boat ride at sunset. Maybe a pat on the back when you've done something worthwhile. You know, that feels good. It gives us feelings of happiness. So Nehemiah the prophet, he was helping resettle Israel back into the promised land, into rebuilding the city and the temple, and it was time to celebrate, it was time to rejoice, and he said this, he said, go and enjoy, you know, enjoy, rejoice, enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some of to those who have nothing prepared. So he said, enjoy, he said, rejoice. And share with those in need. You know, these are some of the things that really kind of bring that happiness into our lives. So I was last night, I was filling up the van with gas, and someone pulled up and got out, an elderly man, and he was trying to fill his tire up with air. And I heard him say, you know, he couldn't get it, he was struggling, and I heard him say, come, you got to come and help me. And I assume it was his wife in the other side of the vehicle, and I could see a sticker on the front that was one of those handicap stickers, and I thought, well, you know, I had been inspired by an earlier story that I heard, and so I thought, well, I'm just going to step over here, see if I can offer my help. And so I did, and he said, you know, yeah, do you know anywhere where I can get a tire changed? And I was thinking, not really, maybe over at Larson's, they might still be open. And so I suggested that, and he said, well, maybe you could just change my tire. And I'm kind of like, well, you know, I know I look handy, but I'm not, you know, the mechanic on duty here. So, I said, why don't you check Larson's? I'll follow you over there. If no one's there, I'll help you out. So, of course, no one was there. So, helped him out, and we got the donut out and took it off. Sure enough, his tire was leaking fast, and so I got it out and changed the tire, put the donut on. I was wondering if anybody over at Willie's was watching. And then got it all done, and he kind of stuck some money at me. And I said, no, I really don't need that. I'm just helping you out. I'm not a professional. No, you can have it. He kind of insisted, so I said, okay. And then, he got all done, and he was on his way to Mass, just going to make it. And so he hopped in the car and took off, and as he was driving away, I was thinking, I didn't tighten down the lug nuts. And I thought, that's not good. And so I chased him down to Ave Maria, where he pulled in right in front of the church, and I stopped in behind him, and I came out, and I said, I need to tighten your lug nuts. He says, okay. So I get down there and crank him down as people are walking into Mass. So if you hear that Pastor Tim was at Mass last night, that's the story. So, when I left there, I was feeling good. I felt good about serving and helping and, kind of feelings of happiness. And this week I heard a lot of people expressing, this joy of serving and even the joy of receiving through the food shelf project, Food Drop. You saw pictures of them up there. In fact, someone came to me twice during the Food Drop that had received help and told me, how grateful they were for this, that they were on a fixed income, out of town, weren't able to really make ends meet, and this really, really did make a difference. And, it's good to know that what we do has an impact in people's lives, and it's good to know, that we're making a difference, and it feels good to help others and to hear those kinds of things. Now, that story that inspired me to help this other guy with his tire happened apparently this week, and I just want to read this. Sometimes the impact of our serving goes far beyond what we can ever imagine, what we ever know. And so I received this card just at the end of the week, and for the person who this speaks about, I'm not trying to embarrass you or anything, but I think this is worth reading. Dear Pastor, on Sunday evening of the 4th of this month, my wife and I were stranded with a flat tire north of Wheaton. We were pulling our camper and were unable to change the flat on our pickup, and our answer to prayer showed up in the form of a member of your flock named Rick, who blessed us with all the help we needed. When he refused to accept any payment, I was thinking about that when the guy was giving me $5. When he refused to accept any payment, I told him I'd send a check to his church as a thank you. The testimony of his willing Christian service is evidence of his faith in Jesus Christ. It also reflects well on your church and your ministry as his pastor. He says, please accept this check as an expression of thanks and to encourage you and all in our care to keep up the good work. God's rich blessing on you, Reverend Bruce Gunderson. And he gave a check here for $100 to the church. And, that's pretty amazing, isn't it? I think we should all rejoice and be happy that that's the kind of witness that God is working out through us and through you. And so, praise the Lord. That makes me as a pastor pretty happy. But there's a difference between happiness and what we're really speaking about today and what we're getting at, and that is joy. Happiness and joy aren't quite the same. What I've shared can certainly be outcomes of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and the work of God in tangible ways as we love one another. But let's talk about the joy that you and I cannot create, the joy that we cannot do in our own effort or in our own work. No matter how hard we try, no matter how hard we want it, no matter how hard we think that we need it, this joy is a gift from above. And so let's talk about this, the joy of the Lord. This is a supernatural kind of joy, a joy that is placed in us through the Holy Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit that is joy. So it's what God generates in our lives. And God wants us to experience this fruit most of all of anything. God wants us to know real love, real joy. So anyone who trusts in Jesus, who puts their faith in him, when we believe, we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and the attributes of His character began to show forth in our lives, and we express it as fruit, bursting with flavor, and it's flavor that others experience around us, as we talked about last week, the love that we share with others, and what the Bible calls today joy. You know, Jesus told His disciples, "I am going away." And then He continues in John 15, "I have told you this so that My joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." And He says, You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in My name, the Father will give you." And again, I want to be clear that the joy we're talking about here, that Jesus is talking about, is not something that we generate on our own. It's not a feeling of the good from the good things that we accomplish. This joy is from Jesus. He says, "My joy is in you." Jesus' joy. So this is the fruit that will last, and it's the fruit that's bursting with the flavor that only comes from the Holy Spirit. And this kind of joy, well, you know, it's pretty incredible. It really is. He calls it joy that's complete. You know, when I think about that, complete means there's nothing that can be added to it. This joy is complete in all its joyfulness. This is the package right here, Christ's joy. And Jesus was explaining that as a follower of Him, we have access to complete joy. So He was going to the cross. He was going to die. He said, "I'm going away." And they were sad. In John 16, He says, "Very truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices." And then He says something quite remarkable. He says, "You will grieve, but your grief will turn to," what does it say up there? Joy. Your grief will turn to joy. Now, in the upper room, Jesus tells them that they're not going to see Him anymore, and then they'll see Him again, and then they will be full of joy. And He says, "And no one will take away your joy." You know, there is something that Jesus wants His followers to understand about this kind of joy that is the fruit of the Spirit, and that's that in Jesus, there is everlasting joy. Jesus says that this joy I give you can't be taken away. This joy is a supernatural joy from God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and it's lasting. It is eternal. You know, I'm not sure we get this because, you know, our feelings kind of betray this idea of lasting kinds of things. You know, just like someone asked me a couple weeks ago, "Pastor, are you always happy?" Well, no, I'm not always happy. You know, my feelings don't last forever. They're up and down. They're sometimes like a roller coaster. You know, it's like my Fitbit that I got here last Father's Day. You know, I was pretty excited about that because I was using it to get fit. Can't you tell? And as we were, you know, as I was using it a few weeks in, and I was earning all kinds of badges that it tells me, you know, I'm a mountain climber and feeling really good about myself. And then I hit it with a tennis racket when we were playing, and it went out, just turned off. And so I thought, well, and my happiness kind of faded. And so they sent me a new one, and I was happy again. And so now it's cracked in half about a year later. It's about ready to fall off, and it looks terrible. And, you know, I'm thinking, well, it still works, but someday it's going to fall off and no more joy. You know, that's the kind of feelings and things we experience often in life. But this joy that comes from Jesus, this is everlasting joy. This is eternal joy. The King James Version talks about this kind of joy, and we wonder, well, how does this last? How does this joy work? And in Psalm 16, we hear, "In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." So everlasting joy is possible because this joy comes into our lives with the presence of Jesus. So as we come here today, we experience the presence of joy, the presence of Jesus. It's part of His character poured into us by the Spirit. You know, when Jesus went up to heaven, He said, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." And because Jesus is always here, joy is here. Where Jesus is, there is what? Joy, the presence of joy. So joy is something that God wants us to experience. Did you know that? God wants you to know joy. God wants you to experience this everlasting presence of Christ. And this is the joy that's not based on feelings or circumstances of life, but it's known in the presence of Jesus. And that's why our desire becomes to draw near to God, to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit, so that we experience the presence of His joy in our lives. So I want to dispel the idea that God is a stern or grumpy or mean God. You know, the nature of God is all about joy. See, our God is a God of joy. I think that's so refreshing. In the Old Testament, in the book of Zephaniah, he was a prophet, and he's speaking to, God's speaking through him to the people, and a picture of what it'll be like as God draws his people back. He said, "The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing." You know, the Lord takes great delight in you. Isn't that good to know that the Lord is delighting in you? Do you see God like that? Do you see a delighting Father who is rejoicing over you with singing? You know, that's how the Bible describes God's joy for you. God is filled with joy for you. You know, I don't know if you are like me, but I like joy. You know, I kind of suspect that some of you do too, you know, joy in your lives. You know, when I got my license to drive when I was 16, I was a joy rider. I just enjoyed, you know, getting out on the road and driving. And so, you know, that idea of joy. And, you know, in my life, I'm kind of a joy seeker. Even today, when we go to the grocery store, I usually take the long way home. Yep. And so, you know, just the joy, and I have to be honest, in my relationship with Jesus, I seek joy. I seek joy in the Lord, and the truth is, I find joy in Him far more than anywhere else. And even this morning, you know, we prayed ahead of church, and I'm just praying, you know, fill us with the joy as your church, and as we sing that first song, I just become overwhelmed with the presence of God and that sense of joy, and I'm just taken by that. I'm just amazed, and I hope that you experience that too as you come into worship and come into the praise of God. You know, and so as we experience this joy, one of my favorite passages is Jesus expressing joy, and I've shared this with you in Luke 10. It says, "At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit." So we're talking again about this joy of God. "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and have revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do." You know, this idea that God is rejoicing and pleased in Jesus, filled with joy through the Holy Spirit. I'm so glad that Jesus is full of joy. I'm so glad that our God is a God of joy. Jesus said, "When I see you again, my joy will be in you and it will never, ever leave you." And that's great news as a follower of Jesus today. His joy is never going to leave you. Never, ever. He gives this illustration about a woman giving birth. He says, "A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come, but when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that the child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy." And I think this gives us insight into the function of joy. Joy functions in that the joy of Jesus overcomes our sorrow. You know, this woman in childbirth is experiencing the pain and anguish, and I have to tell you, I haven't been there. Half of you have, or so. But, you know, I was there with Cheryl when this was taking place, and it seemed kind of like this is true. So when the baby is born, you know, the mother, in a sense, forgets the pain. You know, it's not that the pain is completely gone, but that pain and that anguish is overcome by the joy of this new life before her. You know, and the illustration, I think, is pretty clear, right? It's pretty vivid. Joy doesn't erase the pain, but it has the power to be something so much more profound and so much more filling that it just eclipses our sorrows and our pains. The Apostle Paul describes joy's power to overcome. He says, you welcome the message in the midst of severe suffering. There's the pain. With the joy given by the Holy Spirit, there's the work of the fruit. There are a number of stories that we can read about tragic losses, of people. I have a book of martyrs, and it just talks about extreme suffering that we face. And we know suffering in this world, and yet there seems to be in their lives this joy that wells up beyond any circumstances, beyond their darkest sorrows. You know, and can this joy of God, this joy they've experienced, can it overcome our sorrows too? Because that's really the question today, isn't it? Will it have that kind of impact and effect in my life and yours? Can it overcome for us? You know, this joy, it's real. Paul describes it in a letter to Hebrews, the joy of Jesus as he overcomes the cross, his deep suffering. Listen to the words. For the joy set before him, before Jesus, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, there's something that Jesus understood that fixed his joy far beyond the cross, far beyond his pain and suffering. Peter talks about it in his letter. He says, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. And so why are these followers of Jesus willing to suffer for their faith and even to rejoice in this suffering? You know, Peter describes it here. He says that they know an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. And this inheritance is kept for them in heaven. So this joy, it's ahead. This joy is coming. It's almost a tangible experience now, a taste of what is to be. And it overcomes the pain we are facing. And so where does this joy come from? Well, we know, don't we? The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You know, it's unexplainable, it's indestructible, it's a joy that comes from the Lord and it springs up in us, it wells up in us. Jesus is able to overcome the hardships of our lives, and that is a cause for joy that knows no boundaries. So Jesus wants us to know that even the pain that doesn't seem to go away, you know, like the mother in childbirth, the pain is eclipsed. It's overcome by the joy he places in you and I. And he wants us to know it and experience it and to trust him in this joy of new life. If you know Jesus, you have experienced that joy. One of the greatest gifts he gives us is the power of his joy that it does overcome our sorrows. Not that we don't experience sorrows, but his joy overcomes. And the other function of joy is worship. Today, we're gathered here together. The Lord expects his people to come before him with joy. You know, one of our healthy missional markers that we talk about in the church is heartfelt worship. And part of that, worshiping from the heart, is expressing it in joy. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm drawn to joyful worship. Maybe you've realized that. And there's a reason. It's not just because I was a rock fan before rock was classic. God is a God of joy. He truly is. And he made joy, and he causes joy to spring up in us, and he expects us to express that joy in worship to him. And when we dig into the Old Testament, we realize that God intended this from the very beginning. In Leviticus, there's this call to this celebration, to this feast, and gather the branches. And then he says, and celebrate with joy before the Lord your God for 7 days. You know, 7 days of joyful celebration. God desires this of his people. He wants them to experience and express it. And in Deuteronomy, again, this festival will be a happy time of celebrating with everybody. You know, it's a happy time. It's a celebrating. It's a joyful time. So how did you come to worship this morning? You know, did you come up ready for joyful worship, or did you come down, low, you know, feeling that it's going to be hard to express it, or were you indifferent? I don't know. Here we are. Yay. Maybe you're not up. Maybe you're not down. You know, however you come, up, down, or sideways, you know, I hope that you are experiencing, even now, in worship, in this time together, a sense of God's joy that he is pouring into you, that is welling up to sing praises, to shout his name. Because God is a God of joy. And when we're worshiping God with a joyful heart, we are expressing his heart, God's heart of joy. So if we're honest, you know, we're not always feeling joy. It's true. You know, when we're not feeling joy in that place of worship, I think that's where we just need to come to God and ask, God, fill me with your joy. Fill me with your presence. Fill me with what I can't generate on my own that is a gift from heaven, from above. Lord, give me a heart of worship. Fill me with the joy of your presence. Psalmist says, will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? I think that's a prayer that God wants to answer. Joy is God's character. So how is joy a function of worship? Well, we go to the Bible and discover as we read. I want you to read with me the underlined words, okay? I'm going to just read through this passage and join me in the words that are underlined. So come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and so God wants us to worship him joyfully, to shout, to sing, to come before him. And again, in Psalm 98, I invite you to read along with me. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. With music, make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. The king. So we come before the king with shouts of joy and acclamation. God wants us to worship with what? Let's try that again. God wants us to worship with what?
Joy.
Joy, yes, shout it out. Amen. So we're created for joy, and that's so great. That's so awesome. In fact, all creation is made to worship God with joy. God poured out his joy in creation. He says, in Chronicles, it says, let the trees of the forest sing. Let them sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Wow, that's a lot of joy going on, isn't it? All of creation, you and I and the trees. Somebody might say, well, how can I have that joy in my situation and if my situation is unhappy? Well, maybe we have a relationship that we're struggling in or that has broken up or maybe kids moved away and we're feeling lonely, or a spouse that is gone, or diagnosed with serious health problems and struggling with the outcome, or loss of a job, or any other number of things that we face. You know, if we focus on these things and seek them for our happiness, it kind of betrays where we're searching for our joy. And when it's gone, and we know that these things just don't last forever, you know, we wonder, where did all our joy go? Well, if that's happening, then we've lost what joy really is as a follower of Jesus for us. But joy isn't having these things in our lives. It's about the one who brings life. It's about the giver of life. It's the one who puts his spirit in us and the fruit of joy. And so when we focus on the spirit, we always find joy, no matter what our circumstances are. So believe me when I say, you know, I'm glad that we do have happiness, you know, occasions to celebrate and events to celebrate, and I'm well aware of our sorrows and struggles and difficulties and that sense of not knowing that joy in a particular trial or circumstance. So I'm really happy that the Holy Spirit brings joy to us, that it's not something we have to make up on our own, but it is a gift poured into us by God. So that kind of joy wells up in us because we have a God of joy who sent his Son to die for us, to forgive us, to give us new life, and to fill us with his Holy Spirit and the joy of that new life. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the scripture says, he or she is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come, and the new is a life filled with joy. Do you know this joy? Have you experienced it? This week we had the opportunity to go and deliver some groceries, some food to people. Somebody had donated a large gift of food. And so we divided it up, called some folks, and went out and distributed it. And it was really, really kind of fun for us because we got to experience the expressions of joy as people received these gifts. And, you know, it was great, and it truly is. But it's not something that we can duplicate every day. It is part of that expression of God's love for his people and the work of the Spirit. But yet, The joy that really wells up and remains is the joy that God pours into our heart through that relationship with Him. And so no matter what you are facing, trust Jesus. Trust Him. And you will know His joy in all circumstances. And that joy is forever. So keep following the Holy Spirit. Keep following God. Draw near to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit. And experience what the Lord has put in you and me and us together. The fresh fruit of eternal joy. Let us pray. God our Father, thank You that You never, ever leave us or abandon us, that You sent Your Son to be with us forever and Your Spirit who lives in us. And Lord, we need You so, so much. We need Your life in us. We need Your fruit. And Lord, we just ask that You continue to pour that fruit of Your Spirit into our lives with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. Lord, fill us fresh and new that we may know and experience Your eternal joy. In Jesus' name, amen.